Right. Okay, we're back in 1 Kings tonight, folks. We're back in 1 Kings. We'll go down to verse 9. I believe we covered it a little bit, but 1 Kings 15:9. First Kings 15:9. Now, 1 Kings 15:1 begins in the scenario here. We're talking about the kings of Judah. At this point, this book flips back and forth to the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. Remember, the kingdoms divided at the time, and Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. He had a son named Abijam. And then we're going to learn a little bit more about the next guy down here. Verse 9. Verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Now, Israel at this point is the northern tribes, right? Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Asa is Abijam's son. All right, verse 10. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. I remember closing out with that last time, and this lady happened to be somebody else's mother as well, if you will recall. Go back to 15:2. Now this is Abijam, Asa's father, verse 2. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Same woman. Abijam's mother was also Asa's mother. And so, folks, that's one of the reasons that, the Lord ran the heathen out of that land. And that's one of the reasons he was so hard as to say, run them completely out, kill them, scour the land. Otherwise, you're going to be infected with the same thing they were infected with. And when they didn't do that, here you have two of the kings of Judah that have a problem. So it's, there's nothing new under the sun. Okay? I mean, we are horrified to read and hear things today, but there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Now, Asa's a good guy. There's one negative aspect to his life in a little while, but this guy was a good guy, and once again, you're kind of amazed because here he's got a father that was wicked and a mother that was certainly wicked, and this kid turns out all right. And once in a while in the Bible, you'll find folks like that. Obviously, there's times in life that you find things like that. It's still a rotten recipe. I mean, sometimes parents get that way a little bit where, well, look at me, I was raised in a lost home, my dad was a drunk, my mom was a this and that and all that, and look at me, I turned out, so, I'm not gonna be real, real strict with my kids because after all, I turned out. Yeah, but your mom and dad didn't have the light that you have. And just because the Lord miraculously and supernaturally rescued somebody from a disaster doesn't mean that that's a recipe for the way things are supposed to go, right? All right, verse 12. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. I mean, this is a continuing theme. What does the king do with the Sodomites? And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also, Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. Now, whatever else is the case, you think, yeah, well, he's a king and she's the queen. Well, yeah, but she's his mother. You think it's any easier for Asa to draw a hard line on his mama than it is for you to draw a hard line on your mother? No easier. In fact, maybe harder, right? I mean, if you've got a grandmother and a mother at the same time, I mean, that's just that much harder. It's like being ganged up on. Like I said last week, it's a good thing she wasn't his mother-in-law too, because that would have really been a problem. Verse 13, and also Maacah's mother Even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his day. Now we've been talking about, we talked about perfection for the last 2 weeks, you know, in church on Sunday night. And, you know, you look at that verse and there's some things that follow here in a little while that, you know, would lead you to wonder, would show certainly once again that perfection is not sinless perfection. But it also says here that Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Okay, you say, you got to break this down. How can Asa's heart be perfect with the Lord all his days, but the high places aren't removed? Well, you know, you're dealing with human nature, folks, and I'm not trying to give anybody an excuse for anything, but, you know, he did a whole bunch of other things right. He ran the Sodomites out. He tore up his mama's idol and kicked her off the throne and did some other things right. Maybe the high places were just one of the things he didn't get to. Maybe it was just something that he overlooked, you know? Whatever is the case, here you have a guy who's given an extraordinary compliment, and it is an extraordinary compliment, by the way, folks, because I could not find anybody else in the Bible that was said, a singular guy that was said to have a perfect heart toward the Lord. David was not said to have that. Josiah, Hezekiah weren't said to have that. Hezekiah said, I have had a perfect heart with the Lord. And you know, but Lord, that my heart's been perfect with you. And then the Lord answered his prayer. But the Lord didn't say, Hezekiah, your heart's been perfect. The Lord said this guy's heart was perfect. I guess he had a good heart. He may have been somebody that was worth sitting down and talking to, don't you think? You say, I wouldn't have talked to him because he left the high places. Yeah, he'd be somebody worth talking to. His heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. It's kind of an amazing thing. Well, verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And folks, you have to be careful with that, because if you're not careful, then you're going to excuse one of your sins the Lord's been dealing with you about and point out to the Lord, of course, that Asa left high places, but his heart was perfect. So your heart, too, can be perfect and still have a sin, right? And you don't want to play that game, folks. The Lord knows you too well for you to play that game, and it never works that way. However, I tell you what would be wise. It would be wise to consider that in a measure when you consider other people's lives and other people's testimonies. Did any of you know that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you know, the great Baptist preacher, did you know that he smoked cigars his whole life? I don't approve of that at all, do you? Well, I just don't think I'd use him. Well, the Lord used him. Did you know that J. Frank Norris killed a guy in his office one time? Did you know that he cussed out the choir? I'm serious. Now, I'm not going to cuss out the choir. We don't have a choir. But that's what I'm saying, though. You have to be a little bit careful when you start contemplating, you know, for instance, there's guys that Lord's used that you wouldn't use. And like I said, a lot of times the Lord uses men that you wouldn't use because the Lord sees things in men that you don't see. But, you know, folks have been frothing at the mouth about Ruckman for 40 years now. Okay, you're not the Lord's deputy. What are you going to do, put him out of the ministry? You're not going to put him out of the ministry. The Lord will put him out of the ministry if he wants him out of the ministry. That's the point, see, folks. And so you got to be careful. And, you know, this is kind of treacherous ground, because if you're not careful, you'll excuse yourself on something that the Lord won't excuse you on. And then you'll be mad because, you know, well, you look at Asa, you know, look what he did, and the Lord still let him by, and look what I did, and, you know, then the Lord didn't use me. You got to be careful playing that game. But at the same time, while you don't cut yourself a lot of slack, you make sure that you cut your brethren a little slack and leave the Lord's business to the Lord's business. Because there's things that you don't control. All right, verse 14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Now, we'll read more about that here in a little while. But that is not sinless perfection. You don't read sinless perfection. Perfection in the Bible, with just a few exceptions, is not sinless perfection. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated unto the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. And there was war between Asa and Baasha. Now, once again, let's break off to 2 Chronicles here for just a little while, because there's some additional information that's worthwhile to study. I'm going to kind of sandwich these two together and cover in one what's not covered in the other a little bit. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. When you learn a few more things about Asa. 2 Chronicles 14. And this is something that you don't read there. 2 Chronicles 14, 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Raphathah at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. It's kind of like David's prayer, you know. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. That's a good prayer, folks. And this is what happened. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities around about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents and the cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't stop there. And again, this is material that's not in 1 Kings. 2 Chronicles 15:1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. Now, you know, when the priest comes out and says, The Lord be with thee, he doesn't add the last part. As long as you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I mean, you know, this prophet is telling him, you've chosen the right path here. Just stay on it. There's something to be said for that, folks. I mean, you know, you travel a path for long enough, and it begins to get a little old, you know. I mean, you know, we took that trip, you know, up north to Manitoba with the teens here this last year. And then, you know, when the teens went camping, me and my wife and Anna and Joseph headed on further west and then down into North Dakota and stuff, you know. And there was country out there that, you know, you hadn't seen, or we hadn't seen. But, you know, after you travel through that country for a couple of hours, it's like, okay, I'm ready for something new. You know, I mean, just keep going on and on. Up in Manitoba, it's just grassland. It just stays that way. You get down in western, there's some interesting country out in western North Dakota and South Dakota. But even after you travel that for a while, it's like, okay, I'm ready for something new. And then you come across North Dakota and South Dakota. You know, at that time of the year, it's just all cornfield, just corn, corn, corn. Oh, there's a Hereford. Corn, 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 Hereford, corn. It's like, right? And that's the way the Christian life is sometimes. You know, it's fun when you embark. You know, we talked about this some on Sunday. It's new. It's exciting when you embark. But, you know, a little while in there, and all of a sudden, you start getting accustomed to the thing, right? Now, these guys are on the right road. You need to stay on the right road. It goes on to say in verse 8, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage." There's a lesson for you there. You know, we talked about preaching some on Sunday. That's half the battle, is getting here so you can be encouraged. Have you ever sit down at a Bible early in the morning wishing that you could have stayed in bed today because it's something you got to face, and then you read something in the Bible that helped get you out the door? Okay? All right, folks, that's what the Bible's supposed to do. And it said, "And put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." So, you know, part of this thing's part of his perfect heart that it's talked about earlier is not just the fact that, boy, he just had a good heart. The idea is that, you know, he's got prophets prophesying, and he has a law before him, and he's listening to it and doing something about it when he hears it. Right? Verse 9, "And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. 15th year. "They offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel would be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, with a shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." They rested in him back here earlier, and now he's given them rest. Look in verse 16. "Also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen." Oh, he removed her from being queen after he went out and fought a fight that the Lord helped him in, and then a prophet came out and nailed him, and he said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. That's when he kicked his mama out. See what I'm saying? I mean, it wasn't just that out of the uprightness of his heart one day, he just decided to boot the old hag. It wasn't like that. It was that he went out and fought a fight, got in touch with God, and God sent a prophet, and he responded to the message. Then he had the courage to do it. It's like that. Verse 17, "But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. He brought unto the house of God the things that his father had dedicated." Now, we're going to be back here and visit this in just a second. But look in verse 19. Now, compare it with verse 10. "They gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa." So in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, they have peace. Okay? God's blessed them. They got a little revival going. 15th year, notice verse 19, "There was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa." 15 to 35, that's 20 years. Okay, more on that in just a little while. Let's go back to 1 Kings, pick back up there, and then we'll be back over here shortly. 1 Kings 15, verse 16, "There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah." So here's Judah and Israel fighting, you know, amongst themselves. "He built Ramah that he might not suffer any to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah." Basically, he's cutting off the trade route, trying to keep commerce from coming in. He's going to try to starve Asa out so that he can get a bigger share of the kingdom. Verse 18, "Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord." Now, house of the Lord's already been robbed once here. Go back to chapter 14, verse 25. Back to 14:25. "It came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, treasures of the king's house, even took away all. He took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made." So here you have Solomon builds the temple, lays out this magnificent edifice, all this gold and all this silver and all this brass and all these riches and all this jewels and all this kind of stuff. And then before, you know, he's hardly in the ground long enough and cold in the grave, his son sells out and gives Shishak, king of Egypt, a whole ton of portion of that to buy him off and send him home. Okay, now, you know, Abijam reigns, and then out pops, out pops Asa and does the same thing in verse 18 of 1 Kings 15. So, I mean, folks, you're just, the first king after Solomon, and then just a couple of kings later, and this is the second time the house of God has been robbed of all its treasures by some king, and the king is selling him stuff. I mean, he's giving him the precious stuff so he'll go away, right? Or in this case, so that he'll be a mercenary army and fight his enemies for him. Verse 18, 1 Kings 15, 18. Took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servant. The king then King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tibramon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria. So, again, Baasha is the king of Israel. He's cutting off Asa's, trade. So he's got to go find help. So he sends to the Syrians to come and help him peel this guy off his back. And he did it with the gold in the house of the Lord. Verse 19, there is a league between me and thee and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa and sent the captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Beth-Maacah and all Cinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building of Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. And then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. So they went and got all of his building materials and carried him off so he couldn't build his city again if he were to come back around. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 a second and pick back up a little something that we don't read about in 1 Kings. And this is where we tie together part of that little story that we started here a while back. All right, 2 Chronicles 16. Now, again, folks, Asa sends precious stuff out of the Lord's house to buy a mercenary army to peel one of his enemies off his back. Okay? I mean, he had prayed before and defeated a million Ethiopians. Now he sends money to somebody to be a mercenary to peel his enemy off his back. You would think we people would figure out which recipes would work and stick with them, but instead we always try something different. It's weird. Anyway, verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16, 7. And at that time, this is material that we don't have in the other place. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host? That was the million-man army that the Lord defeated for him. With very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them unto thine hand. Why? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, I don't know if the Lord ever mentioned to Asa that the Lord knew that Asa's heart was perfect, from that statement earlier. But he said his heart was perfect in that statement earlier. And here in verse 9, he mentions it. And I'm wondering, I don't know if Asa had any knowledge of the Lord having said that about him, but that had to stab him in the heart, don't you think? I mean, here's a guy with a perfect heart toward the Lord. He said, listen, I said, my eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show myself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward me. What are you doing? Herein thou hast done foolishly. Verse 9. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. So, folks, he had rest from his 15th year through his 35th year. He had 20 years of peace. And after 20 years of peace, when an adversity rose up, instead of praying, he hired an army. Sometimes your rest is your trial. Sometimes your prosperity, things going right with you, is your trial. I need to think about that. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Okay? And, you know, sometimes, you know, we look around at some of the brethren, at some of the things they go through and some of the things they've been through. You never had a kid raped, most likely. All right? You've never had to face that. Right? Okay? Some have. So in many regards, most of us would say that we've had it pretty easy. Well, folks, sometimes that ease is the trial. So what will you do after 20 years of ease? Lord showed you something 20 years ago. Now you've had 20 years of ease. Here come you're going to get hit by a truck now. Now what are you going to do? See what I'm saying? All right, verse 10. It's not quite ended yet because the man that received the word of God once before didn't receive it this time. Verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage, like Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. So he has peace through the 35th year, messes up, and then by the 39th year, he is diseased in his feet and dies of that disease. I don't know what the disease was, but he's diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. Now to me, that still leaves a little bit of question about the assessment that Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And frankly, the only thing I can come up with is something that the Lord does actually fairly often in the Bible, which is sometimes in retrospect and in his kindness, he just cuts out the wicked part and doesn't recall it. There were some kings, when you get to Jesus Christ's genealogy in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, that they were so wicked, the Lord just left them out. Just left them out. When the Lord starts recalling some of the aspects of Abraham's life and Sarai's life and a few of the other things in Hebrews, there's just some things that he leaves out and gives the guy credit for having a perfect heart. When he really didn't. Now, that's a blessing. Because I tell you what, folks, this side of the cross, you know, I mean, I know we got to face the judgment seat of Christ. That's true enough, and I'm not looking forward to that. But you know what? The story is going to be pretty rosy. Because the Lord God is looking through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees perfect righteousness over your life. All right. 1 Kings, then. 1 Kings 15:22. 1 Kings 15:22. Now you're going to read some stuff here, I guess, that you've already read. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted. They took away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded. And King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The rest of the acts of Asa and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Now it's going to flip over from Judah here for a little while over to Israel. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, we're back in Israel now, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. This is how Baasha got on the throne. And Baasha smote him at Giblethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Giblethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. Now, compared to Israel, the house of Judah, the kings of the house of Judah were the picture of stability. Because what you're going to hit here for the next chapter or so is that there's just one king after another. One king reigned 7 days. I mean, in Israel, you know, they're turning them over like mushrooms, man. Verse 29, and it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam and left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. He actually spoke that back in 1410, for what it's worth. Because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, which he made Israel sin, by his provocation, wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha the son of Ahijah to reign over all Israel in Tirzah 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. So he kills all Jeroboam's people and then lives just like him. Bad men replaced by bad men. 16:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, now then, that's kind of interesting there. Jehu's the son of Hanani. What was the name of that prophet that Asa stuck in jail for prophesying to him? Hanani. This is one of the few father-son duos of the Bible that work pretty good. Now, it does mention sons of the prophets in a couple other places, but this time by name. You know, Jehu's the son of Hanani. It's one of the few father-son duos that you really come up with in the Bible like that. Verse 2, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust. Now, Jehu's prophesying to Baasha. For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people. Now, what you have to conclude from that in 16:2, then, is that in verse 27 of chapter 15, what we just read, Baasha's rising up and conspiring against Nadab is the Lord's doing. So, sometimes revolution is the Lord's doing. Verse 16:2, as I exalt thee out of the dust, made thee prince over my people, Israel, And thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the throne or the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and I'll make you just like him. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. I mean, you're having a folks. Now look, you're the prophet, right? You're going to go in to the king and say, the buzzards and the dogs are going to eat your kids. Yeah. Somehow you miss the drama of the scene, but that's what the guy's called to do. He's called to step in the throne room and point his finger in the king's face, a wicked king at that, who's already killed enough already, and say, your kids are going to be eaten by buzzards. Verse 5. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha slept with his fathers, and he was buried in Tirzah, and Elah, his son, reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, see, Asa is he's long-term compared to these folks. I mean, Asa's on the throne, and there's Nadab, and then there's Baasha on the other, and Elah, and Zimri to follow, and Omri, and, you know, Asa is long-term compared. Verse 8, and in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. Just 2 years. And his servant Zimri, or Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. He's in there getting drunk as a skunk, and his servant kills him. Belshazzar was drinking himself drunk when the hand appeared and told him how it was going to be. There's another couple of occasions where the kings are out drinking like a bunch of skunks and just drunk as skunks and, you know, wind up defeated. Verse 10, and Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. It came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left him not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinfolks, nor of his friends. But they cleaned house in those days. I mean, you know, it's rough. But verse 12, thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, by which they made Israel to sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days. He reigned a whole week. Look at Job 20 real quick. Job 20. Job 20, verse 4. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short? For Zimri, it was 7 days. That's not very long to be king, man. Chapter 16, 1 Kings 16, 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. Kind of reminiscent of that terrible period of time. It was just terrible where there were two popes that were in office at the same time. And when they tried to rectify that matter by electing a third one so the other two would leave, the other two didn't leave. So the Catholic Church had three popes at one point for several years, just by the way. Just thought you'd like to know that. And by the way, there was a female pope as well. She pretended to be otherwise, but... Verse 18, it came to pass when Zimri saw that the... Oh, I'm sorry, verse 17. And Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. Now, the king Zimri's in Tirzah, so they lay off of the Philistine city that they were besieging, and went to besiege the king in his city. Verse 17, and Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. Committed suicide. For his sins, which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Man, he was only a king for 7 days. The Lord's holding him responsible for him making Israel to sin. Verse 20, now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And it's kind of funny because back here, as far as, what was this other guy's name? As far as Baasha was concerned, you know, Baasha killed his master. The Lord said, I raised you up to do that. And now I'm going to destroy you because you didn't walk in my ways. Well, now he's calling Zimri's actions treason. So the Lord didn't call Zimri to do what he did. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason, verse 20, they wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Gibnath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel, 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. And that's where Samaria came from. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. And so far, you know, in the Guinness Book of World Records, Omri was the worst. But the record doesn't hold for long. Verse 26, for he walked in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers, was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. Good old Ahab. And in the 38th year of Asa, so Asa's long term, man. He's gone through about a half dozen Israeli kings in the time that he's been king. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. He beat his own father as far as wickedness is concerned. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. I mean, if that's not enough, then he took this old hag to wife, who was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. What's he talking about? Go back to Joshua chapter 6, real quick, it's the last thing. Joshua 6. Joshua 6, the taking of the city of Jericho, Rahab the harlot, all those things. Verse 22, Rahab is saved. Verse 24, they burnt the city with fire and all that were therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. She dwelled in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." You say, what's that mean? Kids apparently died in the building of Jericho. He said, "You cursed be the man before the Lord. If you're going to build Jericho, you're going to lose your firstborn and your lastborn." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So you go from Joshua 6, some relatively obscure prophecy, show up all the way in 1 Kings 16, and some guy, a Bethelite, decides to build the city back, and it comes to pass just like Joshua said it would. Any questions or comments? Bryce? No. Amen. All right, let's sing one here before we break. Number 448.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for these folks coming out tonight. Pray that we might learn not only from the examples of good men, but from the mistakes of both good and bad men. And we're thankful for an eternal book. You record these words for us that we might learn these lessons. We pray you'd help us. Give us strength, Father, for the rest of the week. Build a hedge about us, protect us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.